It was interesting to hear what Liz said this morning, because what she talked about was just having those special opportunities to show kindness to others. And that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning, God working through human kindness. You know, sometimes we tend to think that God works in the spectacular.
We'd all love to see miracles, wouldn't we? But the message of the book of Ruth is that God works out his purposes through ordinary acts of human kindness. And that's what we're going to be focusing on a bit this morning. This is a quote from Oscar Wilde. The smallest act of kindness is worth more than the grandest intentions. The book of Ruth begins with this statement, in the days when the judges ruled. And the opening statement of the book of Ruth is not incidental. It's not just setting a time period. It's actually designed to set the scene for the story that's about to be told, to give us the sort of context of the times in which this story unfolds. And there are two main themes in the book of Ruth, both of which relate to the opening statement. The first theme is that of God's sovereignty, that God is at work, even though his work may not always be miraculous or obvious. He is working through the story of Ruth. You see, the root problem of the judges' period was unrestrained selfishness, individualism. Everybody was out to look after number one. Civil unrest and political instability were exploited for personal gain and personal pleasure. This unrestrained selfishness prospered because Israel had no king. And what I would suggest to do, if you've not already done it, is go to the book of Judges and start reading at chapter 17 until the end of the book, and you will find out just how bad the whole situation was. And there's this repeated phrase that runs through it, that everybody did what was right in his own eyes because Israel had no king. I really recommend that you do that. It will help you gain an insight into the contrast between Ruth and that period in Israel's history. In Ruth, we follow the fortunes of a family, the family of Elimelech. Elimelech's name means God is king. And the book of Ruth tells the story of a family living under the sovereign rule of God. And the second main theme of the book of Ruth is the one we're going to consider this morning, the theme of kindness. In those days, Israel had no king. Everybody did as he saw fit. Everyone lived for self-interest. There was no loyal devotion to God. You'll read about that if you read those chapters. There was no kindness shown to others. Everybody was out for personal gain. We haven't got time to go into all that this morning, but I would really encourage you, do that this week. Read through those chapters, because when you see what was happening in Israel, you'll see how wonderful and how incredible the story of Ruth is, because it's completely different to the context in which it was set. Everyone lived for self-interest. In contrast, Ruth tells the story of those who sacrificed for others. And it is this theme of kindness that I want to highlight. Quite a few of us, I'm sure, will be familiar with the Greek word agape. It's one of four Greek words for love. And what happened was that the New Testament writers took up this word, filled it with Christian content, and it became quite a really important word for understanding the whole context of the New Testament. In Hebrew, there's a word that carries similar weight and is a key to the Old Testament. And it is this Hebrew word, chesed. There is no single English word that covers the breadth of meaning associated with chesed. It embraces such ideas as grace, mercy, loyalty, loving kindness, and unfailing love. It's used to describe the nature of God's relationship to Israel, his covenant love for his people, a deliberate, lasting, consistent love that does not depend on circumstances or merit. It's used to describe the response God requires from his people: loyal, compassionate devotion to God, to his covenant, and to his people. And it is a key theme of the book of Ruth. It is what Ruth desired for her daughters. Back when they followed her and she was about to leave to return to her homeland, she says to them, "May the Lord show kindness to you." And that's that word chesed. Ruth herself had lost all hope of experiencing chesed. She had been through such tragic circumstances, as we saw in previous weeks, that she had really given up any hope of experiencing chesed, this kindness, this blessing, this loving care of God in her own life. But she wanted it for her daughters-in-law. And this theme reemerges in chapter 2. What impressed Boaz about Ruth is the loyal kindness she has shown to Naomi. This is what he says. When Ruth asks why he has shown an interest in her, Boaz replies, "I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know." It is Ruth's devotion and kindness to Naomi that draws forth the kindness from Boaz. And when Ruth tells Naomi about her successful gleaning in the fields of Boaz, Naomi responds, "The Lord has not stopped showing his kindness, his chesed, to the living and to the dead." How does Naomi discover the loving kindness of God? Through the loyal devotion of Ruth and the kindness of Boaz. She comes to appreciate that God has not given up on her. He's not abandoned her. That he is still working and showing her kindness through the kindness of others around her. So we're going to read some of the story of Ruth. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her daughter, "I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was this woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he said. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." The usual approach in Western culture is for the man to propose marriage to the lady. It's a theme that's followed in many films, and there's always that tense pause while we wait to see how the man is going to respond. We, of course, know he's going to say yes, but they always have that pause, don't they, before he responds.
She responds.
Thank you. I'm getting ahead of myself. Because you see, there is an alternative tradition that in a leap year, the lady has the right to take the initiative and ask the man if he will marry her. And just in case any of you ladies feel in need to make that move in the next leap year, let me outline for you a biblical pattern as to how to approach it. Firstly, you find your intended asleep in the office after a busy day at work and a good business lunch. And you creep in and you quietly remove his shoes and his socks. And at midnight, when he wakes up with cold feet, you pop the question. You see, that's precisely what Ruth did. That's the meaning of what seems to us a very strange request. Spread the corner of your garment over me. What on earth does that mean? Well, actually, it's a request for marriage. And we can see that quite clearly in Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16 describes God's relationship with Israel. Israel were unfaithful to God. They had gone worshipping other gods. They had neglected the God who had delivered them from Egypt and brought them in and given them the promised land and commanded that there should be no other gods before him. And they went after other gods. And Ezekiel 16 describes Israel's behavior like that of an unfaithful wife. And in verse 8, we have this verse which describes God's marriage to Israel. When I looked at you, I saw that you were old enough for love. I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into covenant with you, and you became mine. So that's the meaning of this request. It's about marriage. Where have I got to in my notes? I'm getting carried away here. For Ruth, it was a risky adventure. How would Boaz react? As you read the story, you can almost hear Ruth's heart pounding as she creeps through the semi-darkness and carefully uncovers Boaz's feet. I think this is exciting stuff. If it was a film that we were watching, we'd be tense, wondering how on earth he was going to react when he discovers what Ruth is doing. I want you to notice who devised this scheme. It was Naomi, wasn't it? She no longer focused on her own concern and overwhelmed by bitterness, she turns her attention outwards and starts to think of Ruth and her future. And it seems to me that's a helpful stage in the process of recovery from any sort of depression. When we get to that point where we begin to turn our attention from the things that are dragging us down and begin to focus on the needs of others, that can be really helpful in that process of recovery. And Ruth's willingness to marry Boaz is seen as an act of kindness. We're going to read the next few verses. The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. And again, that's that word, chesed. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until the morning. So she lay at his feet until the morning and got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. He also said, bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out. And when she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled." Oh, that's packed up. Ruth's willingness to marry Boaz is seen as an act of kindness. This kindness, this hesed, is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men. The reference to that which she showed earlier relates back to the conversation with Ruth in the harvest fields, where he expressed appreciation for her selfless care of Naomi. Here was a greater act of kindness. Because of her loyal devotion to Naomi, Ruth is willing to marry Boaz to secure Naomi's future. This is the same adamant commitment to Naomi that caused her to refuse to return to her own family in Moab and to come to this strange foreign country with Naomi, so that she could show her kindness, that she could care for her. This loyal devotion to Naomi is what he was talking about. But that loyal devotion had gone so far that she's willing to marry Boaz. And what Boaz says, basically, is that she could have had a choice of all the young yuppies in the town with their fast chariots and their big bank balances. Clearly, she was an attractive lady. But she chose to marry Boaz to secure Naomi's future. So we're going to think about some marriage ingredients. The first, perhaps, is romantic love, and I think these are seen in the story. This ingredient, I believe, is present in the story. I think we can safely deduce that from Boaz's comments about Ruth's attractiveness as a potential wife. She is clearly a physically attractive lady who could have had her choice of any of the young men. Boaz is taken aback by her willingness to marry him. Now, romantic love plays a major role in marriage in our society. But that alone is not sufficient for a successful, lasting marriage. Many marriages which begin in romantic love end in bitter divorce. So there's something else in this story. Respect. Boaz is also attracted to Ruth, not just because she's an attractive looking lady, but because of Ruth's character. Her selfless devotion to Naomi is what impressed him. In chapter 2, Ruth asks, "Why have I found favor in your eyes?" And Boaz replies, "I've been told about all you've done for your mother-in-law." So to those who are single, if you're thinking about finding a marriage partner, decide what characteristics you would like to see in the person that you're planning to spend the rest of your life with. Because if they're not evident in some way before marriage, there is no guarantee they will develop after marriage. And also, work on developing your own character. Concentrate not just on finding the right person, but on being the right person. And then the third element we see in this story is care. Ruth sees in Boaz, and in the kindness and generosity he has already shown, she sees in him someone who is kind and will genuinely care for her. And then the fourth element we see in this story is common faith. Ruth had embraced the faith of Israel. She expressed that in her decision to follow Naomi. Your God will be my God. Boaz acknowledges that in his conversation with her in chapter 2. He says to her, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. If Boaz agrees to marry Ruth, that will also be seen as an act of kindness. It will be an extension of the kindness that he has already shown. You see, Boaz is not her immediate next of kin. He's not actually required under law to fulfill this role. There is someone else who, under Old Testament law, should fulfill the act of being the redeemer, guardian redeemer for Ruth. Boaz is not actually required to do that. And what's more is if he marries Ruth, then his firstborn son would not be his inheritor. His firstborn son would inherit Elimelech's wealth, is his property, whatever. So this is an act of sacrifice as well on the part of Boaz. But it's another act of kindness, this kindness that we're thinking about, through which God is working his purposes out. Mind you, having said all that, he does get an attractive wife out of the deal. So, you know, that's probably worth something. Andrew's nodding. So, just as we draw to near a close, I want you to notice the journey that Naomi has made. After the devastating experiences of chapter 1, Naomi is emerging from the bitterness that they caused and heading towards future blessing. And a key factor in this change in Naomi is kindness. The loyal devotion of Ruth, the general kindness of Boaz, the generous kindness of Boaz. As Naomi begins to look forward and think about the needs of others, the disappointment and the bitterness which she has felt dissolves and is replaced by love. And it is a testimony to the healing power of human kindness. The Apostle Paul tells us that kindness is one of the results of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. In showing kindness to others, we are also following Jesus, of whom it was said, he went about doing good. And of course, the greatest good that Jesus did was taking the penalty of our sins on the cross, so that we could experience forgiveness, acceptance by God, and be adopted as God's children. And this is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. What the heart means to be a Christian is responding to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, acknowledging our sin and our independence and our turning away from God and turning back to him, receiving his forgiveness, experiencing his acceptance, and knowing that we are now his beloved children, whom he will love and care for and eventually welcome into his home and eternity. That's at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. We're going to draw to a close by watching a short clip from a film. The film is called Evans Almighty. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, what's the guy's name? Morgan Freeman. Oh. The brain doesn't work like it used to. Morgan Freeman plays the part of God, and he intervenes in the life of a businessman in modern America and persuades or virtually forces him to build an ark. And obviously he experiences a lot of the ridicule that Noah would have experienced. It's an entertaining film, but it also has some interesting truths. And we're going to watch a short clip from it now.
So, you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right. I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
What? Why an ark? I mean, that's like flood territory. You wouldn't do that again. You wouldn't do that. Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building an ark thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What?
Your plans.
What are you talking? We're talking about an ark, right? I mean, an ark? An ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Al, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? One act of random kindness at a time.
One act of random kindness can be part of that process that will lead to change in our world. And so as we end, it's over to you. This week, find someone you can show kindness to. You know, these two themes of sovereignty and kindness come together in Ruth to demonstrate how God works through simple acts of human kindness. God is seldom mentioned in the book of Ruth, but he is clearly at work. And through simple acts of kindness, he transforms life, not only for Naomi and Ruth, but as we shall see in the final episode, for the nation of Israel. So you don't want to miss next week. Over to you, Dave.